"Let us rest here," said St. John, as we reached the first stragglers of the battalion of rocks, guarding a sort of pass, beyond which the beck rushed down a waterfall, and where, still a little further, the mountain shook off turf and flower, had only heath for raiment and crag for gem, where it exaggerated the wild to the savage, and exchanged the fresh for the frowning, where it guarded the forlorn hope of solitude, and a last refuge for silence. I took a seat. St. John stood near me. He looked up the pass and down the hollow. His glance wandered away with the stream and returned to traverse the unclouded heaven which coloured it. He removed his hat, let the breeze stir his hair and kiss his brow. He seemed in communion with the genius of the haunt. With his eye he bade farewell to something. "And I shall see it again," he said aloud, "in dreams when I sleep by the Ganges, and again, in a more remote hour, when another slumber overcomes me, on the shore of a darker stream." Strange words of a strange love. An austere patriot's passion for his fatherland. He sat down. For half an hour we never spoke, neither he to me nor I to him. That interval passed, he recommenced. "Jane, I go in 6 weeks. I have taken my berth in an East Indiaman which sails on the 20th of June."
"God will protect you, for you have undertaken his work," I answered.